Show for this Tuesday, the 21st of June, 2011. Yes, it is the first day of summer, and it seems right on cue, the blast furnace door is open as we work our way to 110 or maybe 111 by tomorrow. But the good news is to get to those cooling summer rains, we first have to go through a little bit of pain. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for The Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe, our friends up in Gila County, and KAPR in Douglas, serving Cochise County. And of course, The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with archiving all of our previous programs. We are live weekdays from 1 noon to 1 p.m., and then the lineup for today's show is a very good one. We have a leadoff interview with John Hoopenthal, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, then our Tuesday financial report from certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. At the bottom of the hour, Arizona Board of Regent representative from Tucson, Rick Myers, will join me. We'll be discussing the search for a replacement for UA President Dr. Robert Shelton. Then we close out the show with a representative from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona discussing a landmark tax court decision that affects millions of animal welfare volunteers in this country. It's very good news for those folks. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but of course there's always room for our listeners with a comment or question. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. If you're outside of the Metro Tucson area, use the 866-725-5467 number. Let's get right into it now with the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona. John Hoopenthal is with us. Superintendent, thanks for being with us.
Well, glad to be here, Bill. Thank you for inviting me on.
There is a lot of confusion, and I think folks really are a little bit confused about your decision to hold the Tucson Unified School District in violation of the Arizona Statute 15-112. Explain your decision, if you would, Superintendent.
Well, I came into office on January 3rd, so we've had a time to reflect on what was going on, to look through the evidence that had been collected before I got here, to sort of categorize that evidence, and I made the decision to also to proceed forward with an audit. And we got the results back from that audit, and we read through that carefully and considered it as one part of a totality of evidence that we had, because we had a lot more evidence besides just the audit. And then we looked with particular interest in how the audit was conducted and the nature of the information that came back through the audit. So it was in the totality of the evidence that the declaration of violence or violation was made on 15-112. A couple of the key things that influenced my thinking in the audit, these were facts that we could verify. The school board had failed to abide by their own policies about formal adoption of curriculum. And we thought that was particularly important, especially in this case, because of all the controversy. It is just logical that in this controversy, because the controversy is all about the curriculum, that you would take the large support staff. Mexican-American studies have a large support staff, very large support staff, that you would employ that large support staff and have them detail the curriculum. Now, curriculum's a fancy word. It just, what you're talking about is week by week, through the entire process, what is the student learning this week? What are they supposed to know? What kind of materials are coming into the classroom? What kind of books are coming into the classroom? You have that large support staff. They can detail that curriculum down so that it is transparent to parents, it's transparent to the citizens, it's transparent to the taxpayers, and then you, as a part of the curriculum development process, then you would present that to your parents, your taxpayers, and you invite public discussion of it. And that public input process might go back and forth as they look that over, and the citizens would talk about whether it's appropriate or not. By them violating their own board policy, they also violated state law on curriculum development.
Now,
was a huge part of the whole thing, that this thing has gone on that long without them coming into compliance on curriculum development.
But what about the audit stating on page 50, during the curriculum audit period, no observable evidence was present to indicate that any classroom within TUSD is in direct violation of the law. In most cases, quite the opposite is true. And I think this is what has people here in Tucson confused. They read that sentence in the audit report, but then what you're ruling is in really a contradictory. There's a disconnect between the two.
Absolutely. And the thing that weighed heavily on our mind to set aside that observation was that the observation of what they observed in the classroom, two things. One, the Mexican-American studies knew that the audit would be taking place in that week. And the nature of an audit is you're supposed to define facts, we have a lot of information that what was going on in Mexican-American studies did not match what they observed in that week. So that was what led us to set aside those observations as not being reliable for that week. But it was not just the difference between the materials we had otherwise collected. It was the fact that there was no materials to back up their observations during that week.
You can understand.
Very limited materials to back up those observations.
Mr. Superintendent, you can understand why so many feel this is a political decision. After all, you sponsored the original legislation to ban Mexican-American studies, and of course you can't.
Oh, quite the contrary, Bill. I did not sponsor it.
Weren't you the original sponsor?
No, I was not. I did not sign on to that legislation.
Okay, but you did campaign certainly last year for school superintendent against the program, correct?
Yes. Expressed my concern during the campaign about what was going on in the classes.
Mm-hmm. So
we can elaborate on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. When I came into the classes, there was extensive references to a book by Paulo Freire, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and after I left the class, I went back and I read Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and there was not only references to that book, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, but there were references to other of Paulo Freire's books, and when I read Pedagogy of the Oppressed, and I got the impression from my visit into the class that Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire was a central guiding aspect of Mexican-American studies, that his philosophies and his those readings were all a part of the framework by which Mexican-American studies was brought forth. And they were very straightforward about talking about Paulo Freire stuff. So when I read through Paulo Freire's book, that's when my concerns really started to set in, because Paulo Freire is quite straightforward about it, that he was operating from a Marxist framework, that he was talking continuously about class struggle, and he was talking about operating from a concept of Mexican-Americans being an oppressed group. And when I was in class that day, the students around me talked about that concept of oppression. And we've seen references to students saying, I didn't know I was oppressed until I attended a Mexican-American studies class. So and that mismatch again between the fact that all of the references to Paulo Freire were gone, out of that week when the auditors came in was at odds with what we see. We see widespread, a lot of evidence that Paulo Freire's text were in a lot of different ways are the guiding point for Mexican-American studies. And he talks in there about Che Guevara being in heroic terms in his book, and there was a poster of Che Guevara up on the wall when I went and visited the class, and in fact, Che Guevara helped direct the communist death camps in Cuba, where they put together what would be the equivalent of 3 million people in the United States being marched to the firing squads.
Superintendent,
we just had a lot of concerns, and we had materials that we observed.
Let's take a call, if you don't mind. This caller is David, and we're speaking of books. Go ahead, David.
I'm wondering which book would you, John Hoopenthal, like to see banned in high schools, and what will you do to ensure that they're forbidden in the classrooms? I'll take the answer off the air.
Thank you, David. Go ahead, Superintendent.
Could you repeat the question?
It was about which books you would like to see banned in high schools.
Well, I don't know that I would like to see the book, even Paulo Freire's book, banned, but the problem I had with the book and how it was being used, I've sat down, I've read Pedagogy of the Oppressed myself, but I would never take it on in a spiritual sense and say, geez, I believe in this Marxist concept of class struggle and having kids identify with being oppressed, and having this sense of equality, but only equality in the concept that you are a member of an oppressed class, and so you're equal with other people who are oppressed, but you have this sense of alienation with other people. So that's the concern that we had over how it was being used in the class. That whole concept of that. But it wasn't just that book. It was other books that as we looked at it, we go, wow, this isn't... We don't see any kind of sense of balanced history. We don't see anything. This book, this class is being used to meet state standards for American history. We don't see the aspects of this that would enable it to meet state standards for a history class. Just a lot of things that were of a concern.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. So the TUSD will appeal this. They have 60 days to come into compliance. Is that your understanding?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then what happens if they don't come into compliance?
Well, then, we're going to go to court. We will show them the evidence by which we made our filing. Then the court will either set aside the fines, or we will levy the fines at that date. And the fines are such that they, at that point, they will have to come into compliance. Now, the overwhelmingly obvious thing for them to do is to immediately start the hearings and to get their Mexican-American study staff. They have a large staff, very large staff supporting these classes. Their curriculum should be mapped out almost at this point, after this much controversy, should almost be mapped out day by day. What are the students learning, and what are they required to know, and how does that correlate with state standards? And get in on into the hearing process where they can come to peace with their citizens, way past due for doing these kind of things, to comply with their own board policies, comply with state law, and put this issue behind them.
All right, Superintendent Hoopenthal, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:19, we're going to talk finances with our certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanque Verde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Plus, he's a good guy. And he's with me right now, Shelley. It's good to see you. Lots of instability in the market. Some of that's been directed at Europe and Greece and what's going on there. But I think in this country, many investors really are looking at the bottom line. Hey, what's this mean to me? And what about a guaranteed return?
Yeah, clearly the instability can be blamed day to day on, you know, whatever the newsmakers decide to blame it on. And I have no idea whether they're accurate or not. But the Greece situation, the European situation, has created instability, just as our so far failure to raise our debt limit is creating instability. All of that creates uncertainty. Markets hate uncertainty, and so you get this ping pong ball effect. You know, we're up last 2 days about 200 points, a little less than that maybe. And, you know, we've got, since the beginning of the year, we're up with today, maybe 5%. As you know, my prediction is we're going to wind up between 6 and 7% for the year.
And that just for the record, you've been very accurate. Very. This guy, believe me, folks, Shelley knows his stuff. He's been very.
Shelley is very lucky, and sometimes I would be, you know,
You're not throwing darts at the office?
I am not throwing darts. On the other hand, nobody can predict the markets with any degree of certainty. Using, you know, the indicators that I look at, it looks to me like this is going to be a 6 or 7% year. That says that we're going to continue to have this up and down volatility as we move out of the summer and into the fall, where we normally would get some upward movement. That would say that during the summer we could get some downward movement.
Shelley, where do folks look if they do feel like they need some kind of a guaranteed return?
Gosh.
Even if it's a couple percent.
You know, there are guarantees in this world, and some of those guarantees are guarantees offered by the FDIC or the NCUA. And, you know, those are for CDs, they're for bank accounts, they're for credit union accounts, and they're paying south of 1% today.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for an absolute steadfast guarantee, you're not going to get good returns. Now, you can go up that line, and that line says in exchange for a little bit more risk or some time commitment, in other words, a little less liquidity, then you can get higher returns. For instance, you can get 3.5% from an FDIC-guaranteed CD that is a brokered or a tradable CD, and your principal is guaranteed, but the interest rate can be start off very, very much higher. But that CD might be a 15-year instrument. You can trade it, and therefore you don't know exactly what the trading price will be, but it's the kind of thing that will give you some higher returns. You can get guarantees from insurance companies. Well, what do I mean by that? There are variable annuities, there are fixed annuities, there are index annuities, all of which carry some guarantees on the part of the insurance company and the insurance company's ability to pay their obligations. But in return for that little bit of risk that you get, that insurance company might get into trouble and not be able to be bailed out by the state insurance fund, you can get guarantees as high as, gosh, I'm thinking of one product, I probably shouldn't mention it specifically, that is guaranteeing an 8% return.
8%?
And then they will pay you an amount based on that 8% return for the rest of your life. Uh-huh. And this is a double A-rated insurance company. So, yeah, you wow. can get guarantees. There are ways of doing it. One of the things you have to make sure is that when you're talking to a financial advisor, that financial advisor is fully licensed. If you get a financial advisor who isn't fully licensed, then they can only sell you stuff they're licensed to sell, and as a result, you might not get offered the full panoply of stuff that could satisfy your needs.
So it really is important, Shelley Fishman, to look for a certified financial planner.
Well, a certified financial planner will guarantee that they're going to do what is in your best interest rather than simply what's appropriate. But there are some certified financial planners who are not fully licensed to sell everything.
So you got to get the whole ball of wax.
You bet. If you're going to buy from that person. Now, a certified financial planner can give you – there are some who aren't certified to sell you anything. They're certified simply to be consultants and planners for you.
Well, I'll make it easy on folks, the Bookmaster Show listeners. The guy I am talking to, Shelley Fishman, he knows his stuff. He is licensed.
Yes.
He has all of the certificates you need, and he can make some great decisions for you. Where can folks that are listening to the Bookmaster Show find you?
They can find me on the web at shelleyfishman.com. That's shelleyfishman.com. Or they can call me, 795-7950, and I always answer my calls. Leave me a message if I'm not there, and I'll get back to you within minutes.
And if those two failed, you can always find more about Shelley on the BuckmasterShow.com website. There's a nice picture of Shelley up there and his bio. He's got a great bio. He has been around. So today I think we've been talking about comfort level.
Comfort level,
that really are important when it comes to finance. Process. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
See you next week.
We will see you next Tuesday. Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA, SIPC. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LPL Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A spokesman says President Obama has finalized his decision on a troop pullout from Afghanistan. The president will reveal his plan in an address to the nation tomorrow evening. A survey of Pakistanis indicates that they largely disapprove of the U.S. raid that killed Osama bin Laden. John Huntsman says the country needs leaders who know that we need more than hope. His swipe at President Obama came today as Huntsman announced his bid for the GOP presidential nomination. He formerly served as President Obama's ambassador to China. The ACLU and a Tea Party group have joined forces to defeat a California ordinance that restricted when and where pamphlets could be handed out in front of a library. Wall Street, the Dow up 113 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 55. More details at srnnews.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's 12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on KVOI 1030. The University of Arizona is looking for a new president as UA President Dr. Robert Shelton prepares to leave the university for his new job as the executive director of the Fiesta Bowl. Dr. Shelton will begin up in Scottsdale. I believe that's where their home office is on August the 1st. The Arizona Board of Regents this past weekend appointed longtime University of Arizona Agriculture Dean Eugene Sander to act as the 20th president of the University of Arizona. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Rick Myers, who represents Tucson on the Board of Regents. Mr. Myers, who is the chief operating officer, he is the COO for the Tucson-based CPATH, will be joining former Senator Dennis DeConcini, who is also a member of the Board of Regents. They will be heading up the search committee to select Dr. Shelton's replacement. Rick Myers, good to see you.
Hi, Bill. Good to see you.
So the thing with Dean Sander, he is not an interim technically.
Well, what we told Dr. Sander is we want him to be the president of the university while he's in that position. And we want him to aggressively move forward and continue the momentum of the university and to prepare it for the new person that will be coming in. But we said it's your university. Go run it.
What if he does a great job and he decides... put my name in the hat.
Well, he's told us that he will absolutely do a great job, but yeah. He's not looking for the
long-term
position.
Deal. So what kind of a man or woman are you looking for?
Well, you know, we're looking for someone that is number one, a great leader. You know, we've had a tradition of strong leaders at the University of Arizona, and we need that. It's a great university that is so important to the people of Arizona in terms of educating our people, but also such an economic engine, such a strong research engine for our state. And we want someone who can lead the university and manage within, if you will, to continue the strong research heritage and education heritage, but also leverage the university to be an even greater attribute to the state of Arizona to make a very positive difference moving forward.
Rick, how big a hit over the last 4 or 5 years, Dr. Shelton has had to worry so much about budgets and budget cutting. Someone who is looking at the University of Arizona, are they going to understand that most states right now are going through a very difficult time, or is Arizona an anomaly?
No, it's certainly not an anomaly. I mean, we do have a very severe budget situation here in Arizona. Maybe some of the worst in the nation, but I think everyone is going through tough economic times. The kind of people that we'll be looking at have experience in higher education and certainly understand what's going on. But University of Arizona is a jewel. It is a great research institution. It's a great educational institution. It's something that's going to attract a lot of attention from key people out there who want to, you know, continue that and make it even better.
We're talking with Rick Myers. Mr. Myers is the representative from Tucson on the Arizona Board of Regents, the Board of Regents charged with overseeing the three state universities here in Arizona. If you have any higher education question for Mr. Myers, 790-2040, 790-2040, if you'd like to ask Rick Myers a question. And I've got a question for you. Not only did you have a busy Regents meeting, I think it was up in Flagstaff, wasn't it?
You guys, yes, it was.
You had good taste to pick a mountain cool location for this month's meeting. There were some really interesting ideas put forth about how to raise the bar for performance at the three state universities.
Yeah. Now we're, Regent Duval, Fred Duval is taking over this next month as the chair of Regents. And Fred stated his agenda for the universities as we move forward. And very aggressively, we want the universities to grow in terms of the number of students, to grow to in terms of their research. We want to double the research engine by the year 2020 and to continue to add value to the state. So we have a set of over 30 metrics that are all public, that are all very visible, that we're using to measure progress over the next 10 years. Fred also put forth an agenda for next year where we want to very much focus on minimizing and hopefully no tuition increase next year. And we would hope that the state is able to start funding additional monies to the universities again, that we start coming out of this economic problem and we start being able to invest back in our universities so we don't have to take the support from the tuition.
But the feeling right now is that you would like, at anyway at this point, to keep tuition just where it is right now.
We'd very much like to do that.
Very few of us ever saw or thought we'd be hitting pretty much the $10,000 mark for in-state students, and there have been certainly what tuition raises now certainly over the last 3 or 4 years. So if you think it can hold
well,
the line?
We certainly can't keep raising tuition like that. Even though we do a substantial set-aside for financial aid, it still creates a burden on families. But as we look at the cuts from the state, though, we've made up about half of the cuts from the state in the budget in tuition increase. And the other half has been in terms of layoffs and cutting back things that we do. So we haven't been raising tuition one for one to match the state budget cutbacks. And our state legislators have a tremendous challenge in trying to balance the budget. I'm not criticizing that, but I think as we have more money coming back in again, we need to look at reinvesting more back into our universities.
Among the 14 schools that the University of Arizona considers peers, the most recent freshman retention rates range from 86% at the University of Iowa to 97% at UCLA in North Carolina. So the U of A's goal, I guess, is about 90% by 2020. Is that realistic?
Well, it's something absolutely. We wouldn't put it as a goal if we didn't think there was an opportunity to get there. It's certainly an aggressive goal, but it's what we need. We can't continue to have so many students not make it through their first year. And that's a partnership with the community colleges. It's a partnership with K through 12. There's a lot of actions across the board with all the stakeholder groups in order to prepare students so they're better able to stay at the university. And when we get them, to help them be more successful. Dr. Shelton's put a number of programs in place at U of A to help students stay there.
And I should point out the percentage of freshmen who return for their sophomore year fell from 80% in 2007 to 77%. So there was in 2010. So there was a slight gain, but there's a lot of work left to be done.
No, absolutely. Another thing I'd point out, Bill, is the 6-year graduation rate. You know, the best way to save money on the university is get done in 4 years, not 6 years. And we need to get more students to be able to graduate sooner.
I think we have a caller. It is Charles. And actually, Charles has a very good question for Rick Myers. Rick, I want you to slip that headset on there. But Charles wants to talk to you. And actually, this was going to be my next question. Privatization of the universities. Go ahead, Charles.
Rick, what would you think of the idea of spinning the universities off completely, getting rid of the properties on which they sit, or leasing them to private enterprise, so that A, they could be the buildings could do something productive as opposed to what they're doing now, and B, we kept the university system but made it so that most of it, except for the laboratories and the libraries and such, and certain needful buildings, that the learning was done through extension, and we had learning by laptop. You could have 1,000 people in a class on their laptops instead of 30 or 40 or 50 in a room, and it would save tremendous amounts of money, and we wouldn't have to pay for the physical facilities, and we could rent the physical facilities to people who would actually use them for productive labor.
Thank you, Charles, for the question. Go ahead, Rick Myers.
Yeah, Charles, you have a lot of good ideas in what you said. We have a new program we call Pathways, and Pathways is distance learning, computer-based learning, as you pointed out. It's being able to spend time at community college and then easily transfer to the universities. We're looking at many alternatives. There's no one solution that's going to make this problem, but you're right that we need to more involve the private sector. You know, I would let you know, though, that, you know, currently our three universities are doing almost $1 billion of research together, and that's money they're bringing to the state. It's money that's creating startup companies and new jobs here in the state from the ideas that they're creating. So there's a lot of productive work that's going on there, but I very much agree. The more we can get the private sector involved to complement that and to look at alternatives, the better off we'll be.
There certainly is a move toward privatization, though. As the university system gets less money from the state, those monies may be gone forever, and you really do have to look at other sources, yeah. Don't you?
Well, right now at the University of Arizona, the state money is about 8% of the total budget. It's more like 40% of the education budget. All right, but if you look at research, if you look at all the other monies in the university's budget, it's about 8%. But these still are state assets. I mean, the state invested to build those buildings and put that in place. So even as the state ability to contribute yearly is much less, it still is an attribute that the citizens of Arizona own, and that we owe it to the citizens of Arizona to give them back as much as we can.
It's coming up on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Rick Myers is with us, Arizona Board of Regent, representing the Tucson area. And I think we're going to have time to take one more call. And I think we've got Teresa on the line, collaboration with local business. Go ahead, Teresa. You're with Rick Myers.
Hi. I'm just wondering, we have a good mining department, and I know that the city and the people, the green people, are fighting. You know, no mines, but we have to have copper for all of the technology that we use. I'm wondering why the university people can't collaborate and say, hey, you know what, if you're concerned about the environment, then we'll use part of the medical department to check, make sure the people, the wind isn't blowing, the asthma doesn't go up, or, you know, just a collaboration of using all of the smart people that we have in all these different departments to support the businesses and genuinely, you know, use a monitoring system or something that says, hey, we'll check the 10 things that you're most concerned about, and at the same time being progressive and adding more jobs to the city.
Thank you, Teresa. Let's hear from Rick Myers.
Yeah, Teresa, that's a wonderful idea, and the universities are very actively involved. A couple of years ago, Science Foundation Arizona gave a grant to the universities to work with the copper mines across the state, and the copper mines have all matched that money dollar for dollar. So U of A researchers have been heavily involved with the design of some of the new mines, how they can do it in a more green way, with air pollution and other things, as you're pointing out. So that's actually a perfect example of where the universities are very involved in helping to make sure that the mining industry can succeed in Arizona and succeed in a way that respects our environment and protects our people.
Rick Myers, thanks a lot for stopping by on the Buckmaster Show. And in the coming weeks, we hope to have the new head of the Arizona Board of Regents, Fred Duvall. We're working on booking him on the program, and that'll be coming up in July. Thanks for coming by, Rick.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. It's coming up now on 12:47 on the Buckmaster Show. Big decision affecting volunteers who do charity work, especially for companion animals. That's next on the Buckmaster Show. If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day. Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, Call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tankaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's 12:51. This is the Buckmaster Show. Animal welfare organizations around America are applauding a major U.S. tax court decision that will allow volunteers to a charitable deduction for expenses incurred while taking care of companion animals in the volunteer's home for an IRS-approved charity. That decision affects millions of dollars in annual tax deductions by animal rescue volunteers across America, and it gives some needed clarity on the treatment of volunteers' unreimbursed expenses for 1.5 million IRS-recognized charities. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Sarah Gromley, who represents the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Sarah, good to see you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
This really is good news, and I know that the people who do take care of animals and in a foster care situation, they've got to be happy with this news.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and the Humane Society of Southern Arizona really applauds the tax court's decision, which recognizes the important work that animal rescue organizations and their dedicated volunteers do. So it really sets an exciting precedent.
What kind of expenses do these folks incur? What can the Humane Society do to kind of help them out? And then there are expenses that they incur, the individuals.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona actually has a great foster care program where we provide the food, supplies, and medical care for people that are fostering animals. So it doesn't apply directly to us, but we're very excited for other organizations around the country that will benefit. But the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has an incredibly active community of foster care providers. Last year, we had over 2,100 foster animals go through the program, which is over a fourth of what we receive.
So that's a lot of people that are affected by this here in Southern Arizona that already are helping out the Humane Society.
Yeah, it's great because we've got a lot of amazing organizations, especially this time of year. It's very full of animals, and it affects the animals that really need help the most. A lot of times foster care providers are needed for animals that are ill or injured, underage or underweight. So they're the most vulnerable. So it really helps, you know, animal victims across the country.
We're speaking with Sarah Gromley from the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. If you have an animal welfare question, we could sneak one in here before we have to say goodbye on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. A lot of folks, Sarah, are concerned about these fires raging in Arizona. They're concerned, of course, for the people and the homes that they've lost, but also there's a huge toll on animals as well.
Yes, there is. And the governor declared the Wallow Fire is a state of emergency, but also the one burning down in Sierra Vista, the Monument Fire. And so Arizona Humane Society, which is located in Phoenix, automatically becomes the agency that deals with that. So they've stepped into action, and the Humane Society of Southern Arizona is there for backup support, and we're happy to provide anything we can for people in need right now, because I know it's a very traumatic period, and people with pets don't always know where to turn or what to do.
What is your how are you doing now on adoptions at the Humane Society? Give us an overall view.
Summer is always a very busy time of year. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona receives over 10,000 animals annually, but summer, especially June and July, is incredibly busy. In June alone, which is actually National Adopt-a-Shelter Cat Month, we receive an average of over 1,000 animals that are kittens or cats. So we're really encouraging adoption this time of year. So if people can open their heart and home, it's perfect timing, and we've got lots of great adoption specials.
Yeah, you're saying something about the 4th of July is always a very difficult time for animals. Let's face it, they don't like all the fireworks noise, but you're having something called a late night happy hour right before the 4th of July weekend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Friday before 4th of July, which is the 1st, we're going to have a late night happy hour where we've got great adoption specials, including free selected pets, and then $5 dogs and cats. There will be refreshments, entertainment, and we're open until 10 to really encourage people to come out. So it's a great family event, and you could find your new best friend.
Yeah, there are a lot of best friends waiting to be adopted. And also, older animals are always, maybe they're not the first to be adopted, but they make a wonderful home.
They do, and we have so many very deserving elderly animals. A lot of times they're great because they're already trained. They have, you know, a plethora of experiences living with a family and other animals. And we have a great program at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona called Canine College, where we have people train animals so that dogs already are equipped with obedience and socialization skills. And it's just a great way to get, you know, a pet that's going to fit perfectly into your family.
So they can go to college.
Yes, they're college educated.
I'm at CC. I'm at Canine College. Yes. So the cost of adopting an animal, what are your levels now for adopting?
We always have specials. Like in June, all of our cats are 25 and kittens are 2 for 1. But regularly, cats and dogs are 80, and then kittens and puppies are $100. And then we have purebreds and small dogs that are 135. And that's really an incredible deal when you consider that every animal goes home with a microchip, vaccinations, sterilization surgery, a bag of food, and a free visit to the veterinarian of your choice.
Volunteers are always needed. I know we started this discussion about some benefits that they can look for as far as what the tax court has ruled, but what kind of volunteering opportunities are available at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona?
We're always looking for volunteers, and we have great ones. Whether you're interested in providing customer service, socializing cats, walking dogs. Like I mentioned, the Canine College program is great because you can train dogs and give them some wonderful skills that they can take into their new home. And we also have some off-site locations, including an adoption center and retail store at both Park Place Mall and at La Encantada. And then we just opened a thrift store recently on Speedway. So we're always looking for enthusiastic pet lovers to come help out there.
You know, I think that was a really wise decision to open the satellite locations at the Park Place Mall and at the La Encantada location. They have been successful, haven't they?
They have. We have had, you know, well over 1,000 adoptions at each of those, and it's just been great because, you know, it reaches a new population of animal lovers who, you know, just might find the love of their life while they're shopping at the mall, and we've had the most happy stories come out of those stores. So we encourage people to come down and visit.
And you are located, the Humane Society is located where?
We're at 3450 North Kelvin Boulevard, and the nearest crossroads are Fort Lowell and Country Club, and we're open 7 days a week. And we'd love to have some visitors come check out our wide selection of animals.
Okay, Sarah Gromley, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. And good luck with all of your events coming up, including late night happy hour on the Friday before the 4th of July. Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. We're coming up and wrapping up the Buckmaster Show. It's about 12:59. Want to tell you about tomorrow's show. We have State Representative Steve Farley will be joining us. He is the Assistant Minority Leader for the Arizona House of Representatives. Sean McCluskey, who is in court today on whether or not he said yesterday he will not be continuing his mayoral run, but will he be a write-in? We'll be talking to Sean as well. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and check them out at flowersrieger.com. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have yourself a great afternoon, and we will hear from you tomorrow. Thank you.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.